Hello, listeners, and good afternoon, good evening, or good morning, wherever you are, depending on where you are in the world. Welcome to the second hour of this Out of This World Radio International program with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW in Bellevue, Washington, on 1150 AM. The program focuses on out-of-this-world information, including psychic phenomena, UFOs, metaphysics, and predictions for the coming years in Seattle, the United States, and beyond. We will have only the best psychics and astrologers and UFO researchers in the world on our program, and I guarantee it will be the most interesting radio program you've ever listened to, as you will hear information here that that you will simply not hear elsewhere. During the first hour, we had a pre-recorded interview with famous UFO researcher Eric von Doniggen from Switzerland, which was done last week. I'm sorry we didn't have any. Of course, you couldn't call in because it was pre-recorded. But our next guest now, Lois Berman, in my opinion, is one of the best psychics I've ever met. She's on the telephone now, live from Boston. Lois, are you there?
Yes, I am, and thank you. I'm honored, Ted.
My pleasure. My pleasure, my friend. I just have a couple more announcements I want to make before we go in. I just want to let my listening audience know that Lois is here. And she didn't pay me to say that either.
But, well, I did put the check in the mail, Ted.
That's fine. Supporting. well, we certainly need the support, I have to tell you. And that leads into my next little announcement. Out of This World Radio International is a public nonprofit radio dedicated to raising human consciousness around the world. The good news is that we are the fastest-growing psychic, UFO, and metaphysical radio program in the world, with listeners in over 60 different countries on every continent in the world. Hence, your support for this program is greatly appreciated. And, Lois, thank you so much for sending that check in the mail.
Absolutely.
I appreciate it.
I like to raise my vibration before I do a talk show. So sometimes that laughter brings in a lot of good energy.
Well, absolutely. Well, my program is all about good energy and making this planet a better place. And
absolutely.
I just looked around here. I don't know if I got to talk to Eric. I don't know if you've noticed it, Eric, my sound engineer, but it seems like it's gotten much lighter in the studio here, like we've been enveloped in white light.
It's very sunny.
Yeah, it's very sunny. But Lois, it's all your fault. You've helped raise the vibration of our studios today. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Appreciate it.
No, thank you.
Appreciate it.
I don't do it by myself. I have a lot of help, and you and I were chatting before the show, and what I did was I took a moment to kind of plug in to that higher power that is available to everyone, and it's a resource that I use and that I count on for a lot of things.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, what I was going to say is, Lois, your support of this program is really appreciated, as is everyone in the world, and everyone out there, if you'd like to donate, for example, to help support the program, even $1, $5, anything would be appreciated. You can write to me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can simply donate by using PayPal by going to www.paypal.com and simply putting in our email address, which is outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. You can also go to our website, too, at www.outofthisworld1150.com, where there's a little donate button. And also, too, I want to tell everyone around the world that suggestions on future guests are always welcome. If you have someone you think would be good on this show, please, please write me or call me. My phone number, direct number, is area code 509-750-9793. Or toll-free within the United States and Canada at 1-888-879-8339. You can also follow us on Twitter at Ted Marr, OTW Radio, and OTW is capitalized, or on Facebook at Out of This World Radio. Quickly, I wanted to tell everyone that this program will be sponsoring an incredible three-day psychic conference at Fort Worden in beautiful Port Townsend, Washington, not far from Seattle, on November 21st, 22nd, and 23rd. And Lois is coming. Our guest today is coming. And the keynote speaker will be Dr. Masaru Emoto, the world's most famous water scientist. You can see his interview or listen to his interview, if you like, on the website at www.outofthisworld1150.com. He was on my show on July 25th. And also, too, I wanted to tell you that everyone, that Dr. Susan Chomsky, one of the world's most famous and well-known spiritualists, will be flying in from New York City to give also a speech and to give a workshop, as well as Scott Lemriel, who's been on this radio show. Scott's been in contact with benevolent ETs for the past 52 years, and he has some amazing out-of-this-world things to tell everyone. To register for the conference, just go to the radio website at www.outofthisworld1150.com. The cost is $2.99. It includes all meals, all accommodations for 3 days, all the psychic free readings you'd like. Plus, you can meet some of the world's best psychics on a first-hand, face-to-face level at the conference. And for those flying into Seattle, I will also the cost also includes transportation, round-trip transportation from the Seattle airport to the conference site, so you don't feel like you're going to be stranded or anything. There is an Amtrak train, of course, that services Seattle. If you arrive by train, please let me know. There is a train that arrives, for example, from Chicago in the morning, and if you come in by train, let me know, and I'll be happy to accommodate and get you out to the conference. Anyway, let's go back to Lois. Lois, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. I was at the ocean this afternoon.
Oh, fantastic.
Yes, sat outside and had lunch, and it was lovely.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Lois, how did you get involved being a psychic and intuitive?
Well, you know, my first experience that I didn't know it was an experience. I thought everyone thought this way, but I had an out-of-body experience when I was 4. And I looked up at the ceiling, and I saw myself looking back at myself, and I went, wow, isn't that clever? I always had an inner conversation. I always had a different kind of understanding. And when I was 8, I was outside playing in the backyard, and it occurred to me that I should go tell my grandfather that the man across the street died, Mr. Hughes. They were friends. And when I told my grandfather Mr. Hughes died, his reaction, I think he was surprised that I knew that or that I said that. But for me, I felt like I deliberately upset him. And, of course, Mr. Hughes died an hour later.
Oh,
and
you're
so
kidding.
I didn't tell people things, because I felt like I was being naughty. I upset my grandfather. But as time went on and I got older and I was in junior high school and high school, I was the go-to person. I had an answer. I was like the repair worker. If people had a problem, they would come to me. I did a lot of repair work with my friends in their relationships. I was always in the right place at the right time. And when I was young, I used to be in my dreams, or in my, I guess you would call it, meditation, I would be able to take my hands and use them as a pump and pump myself up and over issues. I would be able to fly. And in my life, that has been such an important thing, because most of the time, things come to me that get me out of very difficult situations just in the nick of time, just in the right time, and just work out perfectly. I have found that if I try to make things happen, or if I want things now and where is it, that really puts me out of sync and out of time. My father told me I was going to be a nurse. I went, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I volunteered at the local hospital, and then I went into nursing. I did different modalities of nursing. I did med-surg. I delivered babies. I was a visiting nurse. But then my niche in nursing was psychiatric nursing. I worked for Harvard Medical School in the Department of Psychiatry. Mm-hmm. And I studied there, and I gradually became a head nurse, and then I became a supervisor, and then I became a director of a mental health program, and half of the time I worked, I had my own clients, and the other half of the time I worked in a program, and a lot of times patients would tell me things they wouldn't tell their doctors. A lot of times people would confide in me. I always knew where my patients were. I always asked the right questions. Mm-hmm. I always got information, and I didn't know it then. I just thought I was wicked insightful, you know, mm-hmm. as a psych nurse. Mm-hmm. But I realized later that I was using that that intuitive insight much more on another level. Mm. And well, I guess it's fortunately, I will say, I had a car accident. I was helping a friend that was the director of the clinic I worked in. He was the CEO of the clinic, and we worked together at Mass Mental Health Center where we studied. And he asked me to do him a favor, and I did. And as a result of that, I got hit by a drunk driver. I had a head-on collision.
How did that happen? You said you'd asked him to. In other words, did he ask you to come to his clinic or something? And then on the way there,
the gentleman that I worked for in mm-hmm. the clinic was a psychiatrist, a resident in training, and he hired me to work for him in his clinic. So we had a connection from way back. I guess I didn't make that clear. I worked for someone that I went to school with. He became a psychiatrist, and I was the psych nurse.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Okay, and he asked me to do him a favor, and we had been friends for a long time. I said, yes, I'll do that. Mm-hmm. And what happened, while helping a friend of his, I had a car accident, a drunk driver, mm-hmm. came out of a one-way street going the wrong way, and mm-hmm. I had a head-on collision.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
And as a result of that, I got misdiagnosed, mm-hmm. and then I got mistreated.
Oh, no.
And I said to myself one day, my neck does not feel like it's in the right place. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you tell that to people, they go, yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. What do you mean by that? And I stuck with that. So now I'm going to tell you that I began a journey that took me 6 years. Mm. I lost my job. I had a daughter in the first grade. Mm-hmm. I periodically would have hospitalizations. I'd have terrible x-rays. I had excruciating pain. They made me see a psychiatrist who said, you're angry. And I went, well, aren't you clever? So in this six-year period, mm-hmm. I had 15 different diagnoses.
Oh, my goodness.
And so towards the end of the 6 year, I've now been hospitalized. My parents have been told I'm a drug addict and a crazy person. But it's also when I learned about being psychic. Yeah, I learned, I studied, I took other classes, I had past life regression experiences, I started doing readings, and as a result of that, every day I would do something positive to find someone to help me, because I knew I would be in the right place at the right time to find the right doctor. And I never let go of that. I had moments of anxiety, mm-hmm. but I never walked away from that vision. I saw it. I believed it. I thought it every day. I went to all of these doctors. And then finally, Ted, 6 months into that last, to those 6 years, I stopped driving my car because I had no reflexes. Mm-hmm. And my daughter said to me one day, Mommy, why can't you walk? I said, I don't know, but thank you. Mm-hmm. So now I'm desperate, and I'm in despair. I had an out-of-body experience. I walked into God's office. I knocked on the door. Mm-hmm. I walked in. He was on the phone. I told him to put the phone down.
He was on the phone? Wow. Okay.
He was on the phone, and he had a pencil and paper. He had a black rotary phone. There were three windows in his office, mm-hmm. the most beautiful mahogany desk I've ever seen with a glass top. Mm-hmm. He had on a white shirt, open at the collar, black suit. and he was intense. And you'll have to excuse my language, but I looked at God and I said, look, you, where the is it? And he looked at me, Ted, and he said, thank you. I came back into my body. That later in that evening, my grandfather came to me in a dream, and he said, I'll help you.
Oh.
I went, thank you.
Nice.
I made one more phone call. If you recently heard about the Boston bombings, they went to a hospital called Spalding Rehab. I went there to the pain clinic to find out if I was really crazy. Because you can be, you know, and not know it.
Well, I guess,
and I
true.
And I, yes, and I told my friends, hey, I'm going to be, I'm going to have surgery and I'm going to be dancing. And they go, yes, okay, Lois. So I went to meet this doctor, Jerry Aronoff, who was a doctor to Jacqueline Kennedy. And he examined me and he talked to me for an hour and a half. And he looked at me and he said, you're dying. And I went, thank you.
Oh,
now, two years before that, Ted, my mother wanted me to go to a very famous clinic here in Burlington, out of Boston, the Leahy Clinic. I said, no, I'm not going there now. 2 years later, it was suggested by Spalding Rehab that I go to the Leahy Clinic and meet a specific doctor, Dr. Friedberg, and... It took me a while to get an appointment. It took 4 months from the time my grandfather came to give me the message till I got an appointment. And the doctor also thought I was crazy until he said, walk across the room. And then he said, why can't you walk? I said, I don't know, but thank you. He gave me an x-ray 1 inch higher than anyone else, 1 inch, and found out that I had a piece of bone that was broken, that was severing my spinal cord.
Oh, no.
And I had one thread of my spinal cord left.
Oh, my gosh.
Here is the miracle. Here is why it's so important not to let go of what you believe in yourself. Dr. Friedberg learned a procedure. He was doing experiments on spinal cord injuries. He perfected that experiment. He did it on one patient 4 months before I met him.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
So 4 months later, I was the second person. Now, if I had gone there and listened to my mother 2 years before that, I would have died, or I would have been paralyzed from my neck down.
Sure, sure.
4 months later, Ted, I went dancing. I had 5 hours of reconstructive surgery. It took me 3 days just to sit up in that bed. And I've had to walk through that from that day to this very day.
Well, you know, it brings up to an important point for all of us, I think, Lois, that to listen to your spiritual guides or with the help of a good psychic to tune in to the other side, because the good guides, I'm talking in the white light, of course, are there only to help us, and they're benevolent, and they do sincerely want, you know, they have our best interests at heart.
Well, the difference between me and you and the people that are listening today is only one thing, Ted. I paid attention to my gut. I trusted what that little inner voice said. And too often, we let other people come into our lives and say, I don't think so, Lois, or why don't you do this?
That's
true. If I'm having a conversation with somebody that says something to me that resonates with me, that makes sense, okay, I can accept that.
Sure.
But if you say something to me that does not make sense, that I can't understand, that I do not feel comfortable with, I will say thank you. And after my surgery and when I got myself together, I made an appointment with every one of the doctors that told me I had something wrong other than what I had or that I was crazy. And I walked into their offices with this piece of paper, and I said, "Let me teach you something."
Mm-hmm.
One doctor, I said, "You know, you're lucky." He goes, "Really?" I went, "Yes. You're lucky I didn't kill myself, nor you, and you're lucky I didn't kill you. And I want you to send me a bill so I can tell people why I'm not paying you." And I walked out like Loretta Young.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Right. And so I think what happens, Ted, is that people get discouraged. They lose their energy. They start questioning themselves when it doesn't happen when they think it should, mm-hmm. or when they want it to.
Right.
And what I learned was I waited 6 years, now that I mean hindsight, but I've learned the lesson. I waited 6 years for Dr. Friedberg to learn something, because we come into every lifetime with a blueprint. And you don't meet God when you die and you go to the other side. You meet your friends, your family, your pets. When you come into every new lifetime, that is when you have your appointment with God. And he sits down with you, and you go over what you want to relearn, to repair, what you want to do next, and he puts it all together, called a journey, your life's career, your, whatever it is that you want to accomplish, and he puts it in his computer. And then what he does is he assigns you a bus driver. And that's he assigns you a perfect bus driver who knows your destinations, your journeys, and your routes. So my bus driver, Harry, took me to meet Dr. Friedberg when God said, "Let's teach Dr. Friedberg what to do, because then he'll help Lois."
Lois, I hope you don't mind if I interrupt you just briefly. I just want to make a station announcement. For those who are just tuning in, this is Out of This World Radio International with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW, 1150 AM here in Bellevue, Washington, just out Seattle, Washington, in the United States. And we have, in my opinion, one of the best psychics in the world, Lois Berman. I'm just not saying that, out from Boston. And before I forget, I want to thank you so much for sharing this with me with us today. I want to tell you that you and I have something in common.
Yes.
I also was in a terrific DUI head-on mm-hmm. Accident in 1978, February 78, where I was hit. Oh, the combined collision was 110 miles an hour. I was driving one of those little Volkswagen Beetles with.
I was too, Ted.
Oh my goodness! Well, there's.
I was in a Super Beetle.
Me too. What year was your?
Lime green.
Mine was bright blue. That's one of my favorite colors. I like green too. But I was hit head on by a Pontiac Grand Prix. The combined collision. I was going, I don't know, 50, maybe 45. He was going mm-hmm. 60, 65, 70. So the combined collision was about 110 miles an hour. And I hit my head on the steering wheel. It split my jaw in half. I woke up in the hospital about 6 days later out of a coma. And I've had ringing in my ears ever since.
I understand that.
And but I'll never forget that was in February of 78. And I was at my parents' farm in Olympia, Washington, in April of 78. I'll never forget the time. I just had gotten out of bed, and I took a walk back in their beautiful woods, and the sunlight was coming through these trees, and there was this foggy mist. And it was like the golden light of higher angelic forces and God, or the supreme creator, if you will, shedding their beautiful light on me, saying, like, "Welcome back. It wasn't your time to go yet. We'll help mm-hmm. you." But I've had the tinnitus ever since. I don't know why the spiritual reasons for the tinnitus, except maybe to listen better. I'm not sure. But we have that.
Well, you had a past lifetime where you were deaf, Ted.
Where
and
I was
one
what?
Of the things,
sorry?
You were deaf.
Really?
Yes. And oh. one of the things, and, you know, I don't want to get too personal, but
that's
one
right.
of the things that I believe... one of your karmic things in this lifetime mm-hmm. is that before your car accident, you were not a good listener.
I think you're right. Yes, I think you're right.
And I think what happened was sometimes people would say things, and you did not feel or understand what they were saying, but mm-hmm. you interpreted it, what you thought they said, and you were a bit sensitive at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So you took a lot of things personally.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that became a burden for you.
Hmm.
So now, with the work that you're doing now, mm-hmm. you listen. But not only do you listen, but you are feeling what people are telling you from their experience and keeping you and what you think and what you know separate rather than incorporating it. In order to be a good listener, you have to listen and be an objective person. I learned that through my psych nursing. Not to interpret what I think, but to listen and feel what they're saying to get a better feeling of where they're coming from.
Oh, what a good point, because you have to disassociate your personality from what they're saying to understand their position better. And with the with the tinnitus, which is I've had since 78, which is now I don't know how many years, 40 years, mm-hmm. whatever.
Don't ask me, I'm dyslexic.
I'm sorry, what?
Don't ask me to count. I'm dyslexic.
Okay. All right. But but in order for me to listen, listen,
you have to pay attention.
I have to pay attention, and I went to a lot of different schools, and I've got a bunch of different degrees that I got after 78, and in the process, I really had to focus, and I really had to listen. So. My listener friends around the world, and I think there's a lesson here. Sometimes when bad things happen, they're tough, but they often have a silver lining in them, even though mm-hmm. at the time you may not see it. But it teaches you a lesson, and I've been told too, Lois, that it's a big school down here, that we're all kind of enrolled in this.
Absolutely.
Earth school, if you will, of spiritual lessons.
So my suggestion to you, Ted, is to do a meditation shortly. You know. When you have a quiet moment, or when you go to the ocean, if you're going, and close your eyes and put yourself in a park, sit on a bench, and anyone can do that,
mm-hmm.
and ask your higher guides or your inner self,
mm-hmm.
what is it about the tinnitus that you have to learn from?
Listening, that's what I got, is listening better.
Okay.
Still.
So now you can tell your spirit guides that you're a better listener,
mm-hmm.
and perhaps you could ask them to lift that from you.
Mm-hmm. Well, it has gotten better over the years. It's still there.
Right.
And I can't tell sometimes whether I think it has gotten better or if I've just gotten used to it, but it doesn't bother me like it used to. So.
Yeah, but every day you can tell yourself that it gets better.
Mm-hmm. It's true. It does, actually.
You know? And the lesson that I learned is that I don't get as disappointed. Mm-hmm. I don't get as frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
I learned that I can enjoy myself in the moment. There are some projects that I'm working on right now. And I have chosen. See, you have to understand that you have to choose what you think, Fred.
Mm-hmm.
Ted.
Mm-hmm.
You have to choose that.
Sure.
So I'm choosing to understand mm-hmm. that right now I am restoring my energies mm-hmm. because there is a project that's going to be coming to me that I'm going to need more energy and I'm going to need to be more in tuned. So instead of being frustrated that I don't have it and it's not coming, I'm choosing to say that I'm preparing, because if you're prepared, then you're ready.
So I am
mm-hmm. I am preparing mm-hmm. for what's coming to me, and it will come to me in the right place and in the right time. So instead of getting frustrated and mm-hmm. and losing my comfortableness and my calmness,
mm-hmm.
I'm in the right place at all times. I may not always like it, but I am waiting for other people to be prepared. So eventually, when I get there, it will all come together.
I hope you don't mind me telling you this, but I know what it is, and I know I'll be involved in it.
Okay.
We'll be in touch. I know. Yeah, it'll. I know what it is already.
Mm-hmm. You know, I have a 6-year-old granddaughter, Molly,
mm-hmm.
and she's taking her first step into the first grade.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I said, Molly, you're going into the first grade, and she goes, yes. And you know, this is serious.
Well. What, is she getting her college degree within a year in an accelerator program?
You know
that
what
would
I
be
mean?
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be fantastic.
She, let me tell you, she's an old soul.
Oh, wow.
Absolutely.
Amazing, amazing.
So these are the things that I can enjoy without worrying about where I am and what I'm doing. Ted, how people listen is by being in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
If you are right here, right now, in this moment, you will hear your inner voice. But if you're too busy and you've got too much on your plate and you're not in the right step, you miss the message. And then you get lost and then you get confused. And so if you want to know where you're going and you want to know how to get there, all I have to say is, hey, Harry, I'm waiting for you to put me on the bus. Or I'm on the bus. Bring me to the next stop.
Amazing. Lois, I just want to tell my listeners that for those who are just tuning in, this is Out of This World Radio International with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW on 1150 a.m. here in Bellevue, Washington, just outside of Seattle in the United States. Would you like to take some questions?
Yes. Certainly.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful. If anyone that has any questions to ask Lois, who in my opinion is one of the best psychics in America, please call a studio line at area code 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527. Or toll-free within Western Washington at 1-888-298-5569. Again, that's 1-888-298-5569. Are we getting a caller now? Just hold on, my friends. We'll get to you in just a second here. One thing one thing I wanted to cover before we go much further. Usually I do this at the beginning of the hour, but I had a pre-record on with Erin von Doniggan for the last hour. And I just want to thank everyone who supported this program for all their help. Especially want to thank my dear friend Carol, who's been helping me with the moral support and web design for this program, and without whose moral support this program would not be successful, as well as Ann Nelson at Walla Walla Community College, my dear friend Heidi in Switzerland, who helped arrange the interview with Eric von Doniggan, and she's also helping me to arrange some other wonderful European psychics who will be on the show. I also want to thank my earthly and angelic family, as well as Dr. Masaru Emoto and his wonderful assistant, Michiko Hayashi, I'm from Tokyo, of the Emoto Peace Project for their continued wonderful support. And I also like to thank my wonderful sound engineer, Eric Ryder Burris, and my station manager, Eric Creamer, for their wonderful support. Anyway, hold on, my friends. The lines are all lining up here. So just we'll get to you in just a second. Lois, one thing I was just curious before we go on air. What do you see for me and the radio show for the future? Just curious.
I think that there is a new energy of people that are interested and that want more. You know, we started out on a certain level. I don't know if you call it a dimension. I just call it a level mm-hmm. where people, you know, mm-hmm. understood about being psychics, and then there were the mediums, and now there's the healers. And there's a lot of information out there. There's a lot of books. There's a lot of people getting on the bandwagon. So I see your program as a continuing education where people know this, but they One of the things that I find important in the program that I do is that it's taking people through the steps, one step at a time. We all need a guide. We all need a teacher, so that the people that you are going to bring on your program are going to, you're going to have information of how to do this, when to do this, what is it that I need to do. Now, it's not my responsibility to tell you what to do. It is my responsibility to give you some suggestions, to give you some choices, and the most important message that you're going to give to these people that are coming to learn is that, what is it that you're going to do for yourself? And okay. The other thing is, there's a lot, as I said, there's a lot of books, there's a lot of intellectual reading book knowledge, but we need people to help people learn how to do it. We need directions. We need to take all that information and bring it down to a point of helping people take action. How do you take the action? How do you put one foot in front of the other? And where do you go to do that? And how do you trust? That's what we really need help in. That's the help I think we need people to do.
Wonderful.
And I think that by your information and by your programming, I think that I also think that you work with, obviously, that higher power. And don't forget, there are a lot of souls that have passed away from, you know, lifetimes ago that are old spirits and sages, and they have information that they want to give us to improve ourselves so that we can improve others, so that society moves along in a different place. And so we need those vehicles and those messengers to bring the message. I did an interview recently with a woman from Israel, and we talked about what was going on there. I said, "What's going to happen?" Mm-hmm. And she said, "We need a miracle." And my response to that was, "You know, you had 6 million Jews that were killed.
Right.
Their spirits are still around." And that's the energy that's going to come and help Israel.
Amazing.
And help the souls that are now suffering.
Sure,
You know, that higher power is alive and it's real. And you have to call upon it. You have to ask for it.
Lois.
And I, yeah?
The studio lit up again. It got whiter.
Okay.
Thank you. The spirits are definitely here today, my friends. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Sorry, Lois. We have a bunch of callers on the line. Please hold on. We'll try to get to everyone. Would you like to take a caller?
Of course.
All right. Let's go to Marie in Seattle. She's been waiting the longest. And we'll get to Mia, Kathleen, and Lisa. Please hold on after we're done. Hold on. Marie, hi. Good afternoon. How are you today?
Hi. Great. Thank you. Thank you, Lois. I appreciate this. I'm wondering if you see anything in my... in attracting, like, my soulmate in a partnership.
Okay. You've had one before, have you not?
Not a soulmate, no. I've been married, but not to the right person.
Okay, so that's what I meant. You had, and you are no longer with that person.
No.
Good. That's good. The first thing that came into my mind is that, do you wear glasses, Marie?
No. Reading.
Oh, reading, okay. I believe that you had a past lifetime as a blind person. Mm. Because when you look at yourself, you are very critical of yourself. I don't think that you give yourself a lot of support. I think you misinterpret when people say things to you. I think that you're not satisfied with who you are and what you do. Do you understand that?
That I do, yes.
Oh, okay. So that's what you... That's a simple adjustment. If you... and of course you have trouble looking at yourself in the mirror, correct?
I'm working on it, yeah.
Okay, so that's a yes. That's a yes, Marie.
Okay.
So the reflection that you're looking at yourself, you don't recognize because you were blind.
Mm. Oh, interesting.
If you could look at yourself, you have dark eyes?
Do I have dark eyes? No.
Yeah.
No, brown, no. They're hazel.
Hazel, okay. Yeah. But when you look at your eyes, you seem to think they're dull. Your eyes are bright and beautiful, and you've got great lips, don't you think?
Kind of, I do.
Yes, you have great lips. So look at them and not the rest of the things you don't like, and the rest will follow.
So okay.
You not only, but see, in that very, in that past lifetime where you were blind, you got criticized because people were angry because they didn't teach you to do anything, and when you needed help, they resented it.
Hmm.
Oh, do you understand that? So you don't know how to ask. You don't know how to ask for help.
Okay.
Correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So I would like you to be a little bit more vulnerable and be more open and not worry about everything you say and everything you do. And if you believe that this is soulmate, then stop looking. You're looking. But you're looking through eyes from a criticism. You're looking through eyes of a difficult adjustment.
I have to tell you something real quick. That little beep you heard on the telephone just then, often those are spirits confirming what you're saying. So I just wanted, it happened before earlier.
But I just felt that when you said that, Ted.
Yeah.
I got goose pimples.
Yeah, and when you were, by the way, when you were speaking earlier, Lois, about very profound things about meditation and closing your eyes and asking the higher powers, there was another beep. Often the higher angelic spirits will come through a telephone line and they will make a beep or different sounds like that. So it's not exactly third dimension.
Okay.
But
I accept
that. Marie, did you understand what I just told you?
I did. Okay. I heard you.
Who's a rose? Is there a grandmother, rose flower, rose name, something with rose?
I don't have a rose that I know of.
Oh. Okay, well, was there a grandmother with flowers?
No, not a grandmother, no.
Okay, well, there's a grandmother here, and that may come to you later.
Okay.
Okay.
I hate to interrupt, but we've got a lot of other callers. But I'll tell you what, Marie, I hate to cut this short, my friend.
Okay.
But if you've got further questions, send me an email. I can send it on to Lois. My email at the station address is outofthisworld1150@gmail.com.
Perfect. Thank you for your time.
All right, Marie.
Marie, you can go to my website, loisberman.com.
Absolutely.
And you just need a simple adjustment. Do you understand that? It's simple. Keep it simple.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, Marie. Good luck to you, my friend. Good luck. We have Mia now from Seattle on the line. Mia, are you there?
I am.
Okay. We also have other callers, too. Please hold on, Kathleen and Lisa. We will get to you. Anyway, go ahead, Mia. Hi. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thank you. Hi, Lois.
Hello, Mia. How are you?
I'm great. I love your story because I have dreams at night about getting on buses.
Right.
And that's where I get most of my messages.
Right. So the name of your bus driver is, it's Italian for Alfred, like Alfredo.
I love it. That's great.
Do you have anything to do with Italy?
No, but I've got friends that do.
Okay. So you've had a past lifetime there, by the way.
Oh,
right.
I like that.
You've also had a past lifetime as a Tibetan monk.
Oh, I believe that.
That's the first thing that came up around you.
Oh, is it?
I think you know a lot of stuff. Do you understand that?
I do.
Okay. But I think you're having trouble putting it into practice. Do you understand that?
Yes.
Okay. So I don't want to be critical, and I don't want to sound too simplistic.
Okay.
But I think you've lost your patience.
Some days are better than others.
Okay. I understand that. But so instead of having 3 or 4 hours of being impatient, have 10 minutes.
Oh, I like that. Okay.
I mean, you can be impatient, but only for 10 minutes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so I'd like you to take a little bit more action on things that you want to do without a lot of self-doubt. You know, it's like a recipe. If you don't put in enough of the ingredients, it doesn't taste as good.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not putting in enough confidence or enough assurance, then it doesn't, it becomes weaker. And I think you're just being tested. Do you understand that?
Oh, I do, yeah.
And it's going to make you a better teacher.
Okay. I think that's possible, yes.
Do you understand it that way?
Yes.
Now, is there a Paul or a Pauline around you? Paul or a Pauline? Pardon me?
No, I have to think about that one. I don't know anybody right now.
Or a Phyllis?
I know a Phil.
Okay, I'll take that.
Okay.
Is that a friend?
Yes.
Okay.
Are
you going to help?
Him?
Pardon me?
Any message for him?
Yes, I think that the two of you have been together before, and I think that I think he just needs a little bit of encouragement. Do you understand that?
Yes.
But he has some new changes coming.
Okay.
I would tell him to make that.
Oh, okay. That's very helpful. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mia, thank
you're
you.
Welcome.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you so much for calling in, Mia. Then we'll go to Lisa in Portland. Portland, Lisa, are you there?
Yes.
Hi, welcome to Out of This World Radio. So good to have you call in today.
Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure.
Hello, Lisa.
Hi. I had a phone interview yesterday, and I'm looking for work intensely. So wondering if you can see if that's a good chance of actually coming through. I think there's a good chance I might get an interview or something else in the not-too-distant future.
Okay. What was the phone interview for, Lisa?
What kind of position?
Yeah.
A marketing assistant position.
Mm-hmm.
Which I haven't.
Is that what you really want, Lisa? No.
Well, I'm in a position where I'm upgrading my skills and taking classes to get back into something longer term, but it's something that I like doing, so it's not the ultimate job, but it might take another year to get to back to something that I like better. But it does have a lot of the elements, and it's in the type of firm that I would like to be working in.
Okay,
and there are some other
office?
Creative things I'm doing.
Right. Is that a big office?
It's medium sized, I think about 50 people.
Okay. I need to get through your sadness. Well, there's a lot of sadness you carry in your soul. Are you unhappy? Are you sad? Have you just come out of a relationship? Yeah. Is there a loss in your life right now?
Yes, and I had to move kind of unexpectedly from where I really liked where I was. So it's getting adjusted to being in different areas.
You're going through a grief process, Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I'm sure there's a job here for you, but I'm more important focused on in your heart. And I think you're trying too hard. I think that I would like to see you take another month or so. I don't know timing, another couple of months if you can, and really focus on reading some books, doing some creative projects, healing yourself. Maybe you should do some writing. Maybe you could talk to somebody. But what's happening is that it's not that you're not capable of getting these jobs. I don't think it's the right time for you. I think you need to heal yourself first, because I'm seeing I'm lacking energy.
I'm in a position where I need to find something just to stay alive.
Sure.
I do understand that, and don't quote me on time, but I'm looking at 2 weeks.
Lois, okay. Lois, I'm sorry to interrupt, and Lisa, I don't want you to hang up. We've got about a minute 45 seconds left, and I just want to make this announcement that for those who are tuning in, this is the Out of This World radio program with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW here in Seattle on 1150 AM. And I just wanted to let everyone know that we will be having two incredible guests next week, a week from today. During the first hour, we will be having Wilbur Allen. He's a very well-known White House a photographer. He's been photographing UFOs landing, for example, on the White House lawn at night with high-speed, expensive, very sophisticated camera equipment, as well as UFOs landing all over Washington, D.C. at various federal buildings day and night. And the reason he's able to get these pictures is because he uses high-speed film with very, very sophisticated, expensive camera equipment. That's the first hour. For the second hour, on August 22nd, we will be having two representatives of the Galactic Alliance, which is an alliance of 435 million benevolent, mostly humans, who will analyze these pictures. I've already been told that most of the pictures are of reptilian spacecraft landing on the White House lawn and other federal buildings, as per a 1954 agreement signed by President Dwight D. Eisenhower, in which Eisenhower agreed that he would let reptilians abduct humans in exchange for some of their technology. So it should be an out-of-this-world program. Lisa and Lois, I'm sorry, we've got just a few seconds left. Lisa, if you have further questions, please go to my website and send me an email. Goodbye, friends. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. And Lois, thank you so much for coming on the show today.